Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Blazer Banter Podcast. I'm Eric Gunderson, the Trailblazers beat writer for The Columbian. This week we are joined by Corbin Smith, a writer for Vice Sports, as well as the Willamette Week and Portland Roundball Society. We talked about Game 1 of Portland versus Memphis, our thoughts heading into Game 2. We took listener questions. We also discussed a little bit about the sign controversy, Pancarta Gate. And you can follow Corbin at Corbina Smith, CORBINASMITH.
How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. I can say it's going a lot better than the last few days have gone for the Portland Trailblazers. But how are you? How have you been?
I'm great. I mean, you know, I guess it's a bummer that I said a lot of things sort of with regards to I think the Grizzlies are probably going to win this series to work as an emotional hedge. And the more that we go through this, the more I'm discovering that I like being right more than I like the Blazers winning.
Well, you've been on the Memphis is way better than Portland train for a while.
It's not necessarily just that Memphis is way better than Portland. Uh-huh. It's that Memphis has, over the last few years, has beat the Blazers up and down the court. Just senseless. And I get that these sort of things are sort of smaller in sample size. Or I get that regular season matchups don't necessarily matter. But I've just never, watched a game Portland played against Memphis and thought, oh, yeah, Portland is specifically equipped to deal with that. So I don't know. It's just not that surprising, I guess. But I mean, I would like them to win.
Hey,
the other part about this is that the Grizzlies are totally like my favorite team to watch.
Right, but here's why I thought I was in the minority, and now I feel stupid for picking the Blazers to win the series, because when I was listening to everything I've heard about Mike Conley's injury. And then the in-game report during the last game from Lewis Johnson that says that he's got to heat it and ice it all the time. He has to during the game, he has to take his shoe off and wear a heating pad.
He wears an extra big shoe?
Yeah, he wears an extra big shoe.
He wears my size, actually. I have bigger feet than Mike Conley, everybody.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And I don't know. I thought that Portland had a pretty decent shot because Memphis is quite banged up, but they just look terrible in game.
Yeah, and they look terrible guarding Conley.
I know, it's a joke. He has one leg.
And Udra too. I mean, look,
crap as Lillard got, Udra was owning Steve Blake. Let's get that clear right out of the way.
Oh well, okay. All right.
But anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, we've all being, I don't know, people who like the Blazers who are kind of marginally into analysis or whatever, as analytics or strategy, just anything, have all pretty much, you know, we all know that Lillard is a terrible pick and roll defender.
Yeah.
Just unbelievably god awful. And I thought he was getting a little better at the beginning of the year. He's certainly better at containing isolation penetration than he used to be, but if you stick a pick in front of him, he'll run into the pick.
It was
And I thought the one advantage that I thought coming into the series was that Conley was going to be injured and that the Blazers' biggest defensive weakness is probably the fact that Lillard just dives into picks. But then in the first game, Conley still worked Lillard on picks, even though people are oh, he has He has a larger sized golf ball in his leg or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was silly. I don't know. Look, I've become a Blazers nihilist. I hope everybody leaves.
Right. You hope Aldridge leaves.
Aldridge, Lopez, Matthews.
Right. Everybody except for they trade Batum.
Yeah, for Andre Iguodala or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Lillard leaves some. Lillard signs the 1 year contract, and then becomes a full free agent early,
in 2016. When the cap goes up.
Yeah, I want there to be nobody on the Blazers.
Right, you kind of are hoping for a Sixers situation.
Absolutely, because then tickets will be cheap.
Right, exactly. Then you can go to games and watch.
I mean, you know how cheap tickets are at Sixers games.
No.
They're very cheap.
I know it's not Portland prices. Portland tickets are absurd.
Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah.
You can't take your family to one of these games with these ticket prices?
I haven't seen the numbers, but I remember last year during the playoffs, Blazers tickets were more than Clippers tickets.
My mother and I spent $200 to sit in the 200 section. I mean, it was the nice 200 section, but you know, $200 to see the Timberwolves. You know,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, the free food. I mean,
they didn't have free food anymore.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, they got good and they got rid of the free food initiative.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean they have lots of selection in the 200 section now.
I just wanted salt and straw, though.
True. I know you're a big salt and straw guy.
I love salt and straw. I don't love a lot of things.
I have a little bit in my freezer, actually.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I'm excited to try some at some point. Okay, well, you know, about the series, Lillard's defense was not very good, obviously.
No, it was very bad.
And the thing that you would think he'd be able to do to – would be to get some of those points back. He didn't do that either. He missed. No. I will say this. He forced a lot of bad shots, a handful of them, but he missed a lot of flow shots. Like open corner threes, dribble handoff threes. But that's just me.
Eric, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You are a reporter.
Correct.
And you don't need to answer this. And you can just cut it out if you wanted to. Is Lillard injured?
That I have been speculating about for quite some time.
Because he was precipitously worse at the second half of the... I mean, not the whole second half, but like as the season was coming to an end, I thought Lillard was like precipitously worse. And at a certain point, I thought, is he maybe... Because the Blazers, they're really secretive about injuries.
Right, and Dame is Mr. Macho Man, who's always okay. And hey, whoa, hold on. Before we get to this Woj bomb, Scotty Brooks is gone.
Oh! Ding dong, the witch is dead, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Wow.
Not really. I mean, there were Kevin Ollie reports recently. It seems kind of weird to find. It seems like... They probably want – if I were guessing, I'd say they probably wanted to fire him, and this gave them a good excuse.
Yeah. I mean, they had the most injuries ever, but, like, you know.
They are pretty cheap, though.
They are very cheap, and that's surprising. But who are they going to get? I mean, Kevin Ollie, okay.
Kevin Ollie is the word on the street. I don't know. Who's that Iowa State guy?
Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah.
But I heard he's rumored for Chicago.
Oh. Oh, what if they got Thibodeau?
Yeah. There's no reason for them to hire a coach right now. They should just wait until Tibbs gets bounced, and then, I mean,
wait, Thibodeau would.
I mean,
Thibodeau would be like the ultimate like all in hire, right? Like,
well, they got to win. I mean, they got 1 year of Durant left, and that's
and then he's gonna leave. He's definitely gonna leave. I hope.
Yeah, so
as a Pacific Northwesterner, I hope he leaves.
Right, and then starts his own team in Seattle.
Yeah, the Kevin and the Durant.
It's the new it's the new band. I'm excited for it. Okay, but now that we've discussed our hot takes on Scottie Brooks being fired, which I don't know.
A team with young players should hire him. He's very good at that.
Yeah, yeah, he's very good at nurturing. Very good at making guys feel good. It seems like, you know, not necessarily like, you know, I think he focuses a little too much maybe on making people feel good. But hey, young coach like Orlando Magic is the perfect situation.
You know, maybe even Denver. Denver's got an opening.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not really young players there though. But
true. Yeah, they're all like semi in their prime actually. But they could trade Lawson and just start over.
They could. We all could. We all could trade the Ty Lawson in our lives.
And start over.
Yeah. And just hit the road.
Right.
And nothing to your name but a bindle full of protein bars.
So back to Lillard. And him maybe being injured. You know, he hurt his back against Miami in January. And then I forget which game it was. It was in the last couple of weeks of the season, one of the last home games. And I think it was one of these last home games. Anyway, it was a game. That much I know. But he ran into the bench of another team and, like, instantly reached for that same spot on his lower back.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, I mean, as people who have had lower back injuries, I don't know. I mean, I've had some. I don't know about you.
I just get soreness.
Yeah, just soreness. But, you know, when your back hurts, it kind of affects everything, you know? Yeah. And I wonder if his back is injured. You know, he's never going to be one to admit that he's banged up or, you know, woe is me. Because, you know, he's Damian Lillard. He's a professional athlete. He's not gonna take the easy road. He's not going to make excuses or whatever.
I mean, it feels like the entire team is real, like, has sort of a culture of being tough guys about injuries. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that stems from Aldridge and Wes.
Yeah.
And all those guys. I mean, Wes was hurt before he got injured. Before his Achilles ruptured, he was hurt, like, a lot. Like, he had hurt his knee earlier in the season. And he had an elbow issue. Like, his arm was, like, messed up, and he was still playing with it. And, you know.
In the post-interview, he said that his Achilles had been feeling sore.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was fascinating because it's not, you know, that's not something that you necessarily would want to admit sort of outright.
Right, yeah. No, yeah, he said his Achilles was sore and, you know, I mean, he'd been playing through a ton of other injuries, but, you know, yeah, that's a lot of what the Blazers do, you know. I mean, they play through stuff and I mean, a lot of guys and everyone in the league, you know, as they say at this time of the year, is not 100%. So, but yeah.
Something has occurred to me as we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Pardon me interrupting you, Eric.
No.
You know the baseball manager who went on the super long profane tirade?
Lupinella?
Yeah. No. No. Oh, you haven't heard about this?
No.
There was a baseball manager, the Reds manager. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Let's call him Danny Money.
Okay.
Danny Money was sitting in front of reporters, and they asked him about an injury, and he went on an incredibly long tirade where he used the F word 77 times.
Oh, wow, I missed this.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been trying to investigate the Revolution lately. Okay. So.
He said the F word 77 times, and the basic crux of his thing is that he felt like the reporters were doing the Reds dirty by trying to figure out who was out and who wasn't and who had injuries and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it's not any good for the Reds. But I mean, the reason why teams have incentive to be upfront about that is so that, you know, people don't speculate, right?
Right. And I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's been a top down thing. It's not, I mean, Stotts does not like talking about injuries. Oklahoma City notoriously like doesn't really talk about injuries. And the Blazers, yeah, the Blazers really are really not talking about injuries. So yeah, I think that also probably has something to do with it.
Do you think that they are suspicious of media scrutiny of injuries, considering their past, recent history?
Yeah. I mean, they when they
hired, or even their existential history. You know, Walton and Walton mostly.
But... Right. Yeah. They might be a little bit like that. That might be a little bit of a concern. I mean, when they fired their old trainer after the 2012-2013 season, they did it at 5 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah,
they sent out the release at 5 p.m. on a Friday, which is like the, you know, the time that everyone says if you want to bury a story, do it at 5 p.m. on a Friday. So I mean, yeah, they've been always very cautious and very secretive about injuries and anything regarding training or anything like that. Like, I once, you know, and their director of player health and performance doesn't talk to the media, Chris Stackpole. So
weird name.
Yeah. I mean, he's
very trainer name.
Yes. Yeah.
Stackpole. That sounds like a bar with a lot of weight on it. He's a trainer.
Yeah.
Very interesting. How deep does this go, Eric?
I don't know.
Follow the Stackpole.
I will follow the Stackpole. I mean, yeah, but all the players love what he does because, I mean, with the exception of Wes, they haven't had, like, a lower body injury in the last few years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't prevent a ruptured Achilles from happening. Like,
that dude won Trainer of the Year this year. I don't know how they picked that.
Oh, but... that's a different guy.
Oh, it is? Oh, pardon.
That's their trainer, Jeff Clark, and then there's the director of player health and performance, Chris Stackpole.
Okay.
I know this is why people came to this podcast, to listen to us talk about the trainers.
That's why I'm listening to it. No, I'm listening to it to hear my own voice.
Same here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a series still happening. There's a game tonight, game two. Do you think Portland bounces back? Do you think that they make this a series, or do you think they're coming home 0-2?
I mean, I think the Grizzlies put a pretty big beating. Like, I think that the best indicator for whether or not a team is going to win a game is probably their last game. So, no?
Right.
I don't know. It seemed like they got beat pretty bad.
It was bad.
They could make adjustments, but, okay. Just say your thing.
All right. The adjustment that they should make, that I don't think is going to happen, but I think it's in their best interest, is that they start Myers Leonard.
Okay. Why?
Because, A, they have to do something. They can't beat the Grizzlies at out-grit and grinding and out-toughing. And they can't play their game. Like, and playing with Lopez... is it like the biggest knock on Leonard that I've heard is that Leonard isn't going to be tough enough to hold up with Zebo and Gasol.
No.
But is Lopez? Like, no. And did trying to be tougher do them any good in game one? They've got to make shots. Like, they have to play well offensively and try and at least limit some of Memphis's transition opportunities, which killed them. And they can't get in transition if they have to take the ball out of the net. So I think they should start Myers because I think it gives them more of a chance to score offensively. It'll open things up for Lillard. It'll open things up for Aldridge. I don't know.
Stretching Gasol, I think it's double-sided. So I think Leonard would stretch Gasol. Ugh, I can't believe I'm saying that. I think it would ding their pick and roll defense pretty bad. I kind of thought playing Kamen over Leonard was a bad idea. Because I guess Kamen was good in the game, though. I don't know. I never noticed things like that. But defensively, seemed like a bad idea. Boy, I'm really peddling half thoughts right now.
I definitely understand that, and I understand the perception of Myers Leonard as a bad defender, as not a tough guy. I think that perception actually outweighs the risk of playing him defensively because
the problem is that Lopez is not a very good post defender.
Right. Like I saw someone on Twitter, you know, or I see the suggestion, like, you know, Lopez should just guard Gasol and he'll take Gasol out of the game. I was like, what are we watching here? Like,
yeah, I mean, Gasol is like
never gonna happen.
Yeah, just like Lopez got like blitzed by Howard in the post, and Marc Gasol is better at playing in the post than Dwight Howard. He's a bigger human being with more sort of tangible kooky skills, like.
And I also think that Lopez can't protect the rim because Gasol's post game stretches out to like 15 feet.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing, is that him guarding Gasol is taking away from the rim right now.
Right. And unless, I mean, I don't think Aldridge wants to guard Marc Gasol, because we all know that he's against being involved as a center in every way.
They could. I mean, if they're desperate. I think they probably have to go down 2-0 to get desperate. But they could stick Aldridge on Gasol and then use zone up with Lopez if they were going to use him. So just Aldridge guards Gasol and we concede Zebo's long twos.
Right,
I don't
right,
say
right,
we.
Right.
I don't say we.
Right.
I'm a journalist.
Yeah, you're an independent journalist.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, you haven't said who I write for yet. Anyway, let's go. Keep going.
Hey, I think I'll get to it, but guys,
okay.
This is Corbin Smith.
Yeah.
He writes for Vice Sports.
Yeah.
He writes for the Willamette Week.
I do. Portland Roundball Society.
And Portland Roundball Society. Biscuit Biscast.
The biscuit franchise.
The biscuit franchise. Biscuitball, the blog.
Yeah. Yeah. The infamous blog.
Many places where you can find Corbin. Vancouver based.
I am the first guest who actually lives in Vancouver.
Correct.
I am?
Yes, you are the first guest who lives in Vancouver.
Born and raised, spent all but 4 years in Vancouver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vancouver born and a Vancouver boy. Anyway, the Blazers.
This podcast has been sponsored by the Clark County Bureau of Tourism.
Yeah. Come here and pay more taxes. That's their slogan.
But,
actually, Oregonians don't have to pay taxes here. But anyway.
Right. Yeah. Flash that ID. But I'm excited. I know that they'd have to go down 0-2 to be desperate, and it's probably not a move that Stotts is going to make. Like,
yeah.
I just think Stotts is not that type of guy. Stotts is like Mr. Even Keel. He's not going to overreact to this like I am.
Can I say something that struck me as strange? When they were talking about the signs that they were having in relation to the sign, which we'll get to in a second, but one of the signs is like, you got to go out there and out tough him and all that stuff.
Oh gosh!
And I get that that's like, I mean, I don't know. I get that that's, you're like motivating people, but it struck me as weird on a certain level because the Blazers have always been like an execution team since they've been good. And
right.
Saying like, you need to go be tougher than the god darn Memphis Grizzlies. I'm trying not to curse. This is a Vancouver podcast. I don't know. it's disassociating. It seems like having a plan would be the idea for them in particular. Yeah, anyway.
Right. And I, like, I mean, and it's just, you know, I, and maybe that's a little bit of, like, Matthews-type motivation.
Yeah.
You know, since it's basically revealed now that the sentences on that sign were made from the players.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it might have been some type of, like, West-type motivation. But, like, yeah, they're never going to win this series trying to be tougher than the Grizzlies. So
No, they're not.
I think that if not starting Myers Leonard, having him be the first big guy off the bench and play him at least 25 minutes and have –
Because they have not had success against the Grizzlies. They need to do weird stuff.
Exactly. They're not going to get away playing straight-up basketball and going with – I'm sorry. Like, as good as Lopez has been for the Blazers and their entire ethos of who they are
– Yeah, he's a great player. He's a tremendous player.
Yeah. It's just not his series. This series is not for him. Like,
if they were playing Houston or they were playing
Dallas,
the Clippers,
yeah,
well, the Dallas, the Clippers, like, Lopez would be an integral part of what they were doing because Lopez can guard pick and rolls really well.
Right, and he doesn't have to worry about DeAndre Jordan shooting a jumper from 15 feet out.
And he doesn't have to worry about DeAndre Jordan posting him up.
Right, or making a nice pass. Like, all these things against, like, Gasol is basically, like, has totally neutralized, like, what Robin brings to the Blazers.
I mean, and it's so – look, it seems, like, almost anti-modern to say, like, this guy isn't a good enough post defender. Because basically in the last few years, coaches are slowly figuring out that, like, you wanted the other team to try to take you to the post because it's a less efficient way of scoring. But the Grizzlies are freaks. Like, it's the last team that can still get away with this stuff.
Right. And they're the last, and they're like, it's they've got to go some other route. And I just don't see Lopez as being the guy in this series. I mean, obviously comparing coaches to Popovich and their decision-making obviously ignores the fact that Popovich has the most job security of any guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Pop does this all the time. He'll start Matt Bonner, you know, against OKC. Or yeah. He'll start Boris Diaw in the finals instead of Splitter or whatever. Like,
and Boris did a great job. Matt didn't do anything, but Boris did a great job.
Right. And I think Myers can competently rebound right now. I think he's gotten to that point. And I think my favorite part of that entire game was when Vince Carter tried to punk Myers. He, like, gave him, like, two forearms into the chest, and then Myers just threw Vince Carter to the side and grabbed a rebound.
You think the inner goon is starting to come out?
I think it is. I think Myers – and he hit Marc Gasol in the face last night, or in the last game anyway.
Oh, last night? Is this a scoop?
Yeah, it's a scoop. They were out on
– Oh, my God.
They were out on Beale Street. And he said,
hey, come over here.
It went Tony Parker on Chris Brown, champagne bottle action,
if you will. I think so. I think Tony Parker just got tagged in the eye during that. Then he had to wear silly glasses during the French Olympics.
When Nick Batum,
yeah.
Let's get to it.
All right.
The faux controversy that is.
Oh please, real, extraordinarily real.
Anti-Spanish sign. In yeah. The Blazers locker room.
Look, Eric, we all have to fill in our time before we're dead.
Yes, we do. You had a great piece on Willamette Week in this, by the way. Just everyone should go read it.
Yeah, you should read everything I write.
Yes.
You should read, like, my poetry. It never gets released.
So we're all biding time before we leave this earth.
Yeah, before we leave this mortal coil, before our bodies start shutting down, and it turns out that we were just like everything else in the universe, matter collected together that decomposes and reconfigures in some way. The only special things on Earth are hydrogen atoms that get split in half because they're atoms that are dissipated. You know? I'm always saying that.
I'm just gonna agree with you.
Thank you. Thank you. You ought to.
And
but anyway,
I mean, I thought it was kind of funny. I'm gonna be honest.
The Spanish side?
Just the whole backlash to it, the whole Spanish sign thing. I mean, it turns out that it was just an inside joke between Nick Batum and Victor Claver.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, Batum has a lot of history against the Spanish national team.
Lots of aggression.
One incident in particular when he hit European legend Juan Carlos Navarro in the testicles on national television and then didn't get kicked out of the game, which is totally the weirdest part about it.
What did you call them in your piece?
I called them his Gasols.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's hard not to reflect back.
Right.
And say,
and also underrated storyline of this, former French professional player Terry Stotts.
Oh, I didn't know he played in France.
He speaks French fluently.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Is that why they hired him?
No, I don't think so.
That's always the thing with baseball managers, is they always say, this guy speaks Spanish.
Oh, yeah, so he can talk to all the Venezolanos and the Dominicanos and the Puerto Ricanos.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Dominicanos, yes. You don't need to brag, Eric.
Oh, okay.
About your ability to speak two languages.
Terry Stotts. He must hate Spanish people too.
Yeah, probably. France and Spain, that's a rivalry that's reverberated through the ages.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised that Marc Gasol didn't just one-up everybody and be like, I'm not even Spanish. I'm from Catalonia.
Is he?
He's from Barcelona, which is Catalan capital.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he could have just one-upped everybody and be like, I don't even care. I'm not technically Spanish. You can take Castilla and León.
I think maybe he is technically Spanish, but he's not spiritually Spanish.
Yeah, I mean, he grew up in Memphis.
Yeah, really, he's Memphian.
They should have had a sign that we don't lose to players from Tennessee.
Yeah, like Marc Gasol.
That would have gone over a lot better.
Marc Gasol is I don't want to say he's the NBA's most charismatic player, but he's the NBA's most charismatic player who has never said a word on court. You know what I mean?
Yes, he plays with a lot of charisma.
Yeah, because and it really is just like he's like a giant human being who has like these sort of you know, who has these little dumb Euro skills, but he also has like super long shorts and sort of American high school basketball tics too. He's kind of a freak.
Yeah. I love watching Marc Gasol play basketball.
Yeah, he's great. He's the best.
Yeah. I mean, he's just so good at everything.
Yeah. I am a Blazer fan, but Marc Gasol is pretty much my favorite player, and it's like I felt the spiritual hurt when these two were on a collision course on a certain level. I wanted Houston again.
Yeah, but I, you know, at this stage, whatever. I mean, Houston was on. I know Dallas is broken, but
so sad. They were so good at the beginning of the year.
I know.
Never just don't trade for Rondo, man.
Gosh.
I mean, look, I don't think they would have continued being that good, I guess, but like, Rondo must have accelerated things a little bit.
Yeah, I think he definitely took their destruction into overdrive. I mean, now Dirk just looks old, and Tyson Chandler looks like he's playing on the Knicks again, just doing everything he possibly can to defend when his team just is doing everything possible to give up easy shots.
That is a kooky roster, man.
And the Rockets also, like, if Josh Smith is like this...
Well, he won't be.
Right.
But
like, I mean, they could beat anybody in the West.
Well, they can't. The Warriors are excellent.
Yeah, okay. Okay. They can't beat the Warriors. Let's be real. I mean,
The Warriors lose, it'll be a freak thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I just don't. The Warriors are like, they're not only like, they're the most fun and best contender I can remember of the last, like, they are so much more the best team than everybody else.
They are they have a plus 10 point differential. Like, teams with plus 10 point differentials generally win the title.
Yeah.
They just walk in and they just spent all year walking into stadiums and whooping opposing teams and like sitting Curry for the entire fourth quarter.
And then they've got like their bench is just full of guys that are just perfect for like a bench, like Sean Livingston. Like, yeah. It was killing in the last game at the start of the fourth quarter. And, like, I mean, you're going up against, you know, I thought Pelicans maybe could win two games or so. But I can't see it. I mean.
Yeah, they're so good.
Like, they have to play. I mean, the Pelicans have to play Norris Cole big minutes. But yeah, that's not anything to do with the Warriors. The Warriors are just too good.
Yeah.
Do we want to take questions?
Yeah, I'll take questions.
Okay. First question from our friend Portland Brochelite at.
I've met Portland Brochelite.
What's the best place to get a sandwich in the Couve? I'm gonna defer this one to you, Corbin.
Okay. Vancouver, Washington has a lot of really great restaurants. Not really. But they do have one place where you can get a sandwich that I really enjoy. Now, I will say about myself that I'm a vegetarian, and asking for my opinions on food gives you warped and distorted perspectives. For instance, if Eric, you said to me, Corbin, what was the best food you ate while you were in New York? I would say bagels and falafel, because I didn't eat any meats at all. Because I don't.
Right.
That being said, in my opinion, the best sandwich in Vancouver, Washington is the one at the Sugar and Salt Bakery Cafe on 207 East McLaughlin Boulevard, Vancouver, Washington. They bake their own ciabatta bread.
Wow.
And make their own pesto and all that crap. And it's real fluffy, real good. By far, I would say, the sandwich I recommended most. I also recommend Panera Bread.
Okay.
We have multiple Panera breads. I will also, you know what? And I would like to recommend a cookie as long as we're sitting here.
Hey, let's
do it. Salt and Sugar Sugar and Salt has a good cookie. I don't want to denigrate their cookie. But over there next to Woody's Tacos on whatever street that's on. I never know streets. I don't drive.
I love me some Woody's Tacos.
Yeah, Woody's Tacos, also an excellent establishment.
Great, great salsas at Woody's Tacos.
They do. They do their salsas right. They fry their own things. They're great.
Yes.
Anyway. Is the Treat Bakery right next door. The lady knows me. Come in, I don't know. Go in, say Corbin sent you.
And you heard it on the Blazer Banter podcast.
Yeah. Don't say like, don't expect to get a discount or anything. Just let everybody know that I'm pushing business their way.
That's right.
Excellent chocolate chip cookie there. I love cookies. I love cookies so much, Eric. It's a problem. I'm a fat person. There's no way around it.
I like cookies too.
Okay.
Next question from Trevor Magnotti at T Magnotti. Which Blazer do you think would make the best botanist?
Now this is getting into my other major interest, which is, of course, gardening. I'm a Washington State certified Master Gardener. I actually missed Master Gardener meeting today because I'm here speaking with Eric, but that's okay.
Priorities, Corbin.
Well, you know, I mean, this is technically, you know, this is technically related to my job.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yes.
So I think I've spoken with people about this before, about what basketball player would be the best gardener. And the way I feel about it is that gardening is not about immediate results. It's about process. You go out, you water your plants every day, You watch, you prune, you don't force anything too much. You just let the plants be plants, let them produce for you. You know what I mean? Which is to say that I think that what is necessary to be a good gardener is an appreciation of process above everything else. To that line, I've often said that Tim Duncan would probably be the best gardener in the NBA.
Okay.
Or Dirk Nowitzki. People with a lot of concentration on process without a lot of...
I like Duncan. I like Duncan a lot as yes. a botanist. I see that.
Now, once again, I'm not a botanist. I'm a
certified master gardener.
I'm a certified master gardener. At best, you could call me a horticulturist.
Okay.
That being said.
Corbin Smith.
Yes, horticulturist and writer Corbin Smith. I'm basically Johnny Appleseed. So on the Blazers, when I try to think about who is most fixated on process, I would probably say Wes Matthews.
Now, I was going to suggest Wes. I really was, because I think he's obsessed with the process, and yes.
Now, I'm also willing to admit that Wes is a very emotional guy, and I think that gardening is a pretty cerebral experience. So it doesn't fit perfectly. But I still think it's Wes. And I think that when he got some blooms, when he got a good tomato off of his plant, he would bite into it and he would be really excited.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think he would be on the ground like diving for a loose ball for that tomato.
Yeah.
Hustle
tomato. I got a new tomato plant this weekend. I'm really excited about it.
What type of tomato is it?
It's called a green zebra, and it's edible when it's green, and they're incredibly sweet. I also got a ground cherry. I don't know if that's gonna work out. The sprouts I got are pretty small. I got them from Slow Food in Olympia.
Shout out to Olympia.
What?
Shout out to Olympia.
Shout out to Olympia, my second home. Evergreen State College, Omnia Exdaris, the only school that matters.
Right.
I
would like to give a shout out to Tumwater.
Tumwater. Have you spent any time in Tumwater, Eric?
I have. And
why did you go to Tumwater?
I was covering high school basketball.
Uh-huh.
And I also stumbled upon the best Mexican food I have had in the Northwest.
And you're a connoisseur for quite a few reasons, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's up there with my favorite restaurant in Salem, Oregon, Marco's Taqueria. The Ramirez Authentic Mexican Food Store is on another level. The carnitas were amazing.
Is this in Tumwater? This is in Tumwater, Washington.
This is in Tumwater, Washington.
What?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The carnitas were on another level. And they make their own tortillas. They sell them separately if you want to take some tortillas home with you. I mean, the service was spectacular. If you really wanted to, you could also get a 32-ounce Corona to drink while you have your food. And it's incredibly cheap.
I've never heard this before in my life.
Yeah. Well, go to the Ramirez Mexican store next time you're in Tumwater.
In Tumwater. For those who don't know, Tumwater, Lacey, and Olympia are all basically the same city.
Right.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Ramirez Mexican food store, because that place is at least the best Mexican food I've had in Washington.
Oh, my Lord.
And Washington has pretty good Mexican food.
Yeah. West Coast.
Yeah, West Coast in general has good Mexican food.
Yeah.
So, now, this place was on another level. I highly recommend it. Let's see. We had some other questions. Do you think from Ian Rose, do you think the British Bulldog will get any time? And do you think Kamen and Lopez could guard Zebo and Gasol?
No.
Yeah.
To the first part.
Right. Yeah.
Zebo's people often think Zebo's strong, but Zebo is also pretty tricky. And I think he would probably I think he would probably light up Kamen. And we've already talked about how Lopez can't really guard Gasol.
Right. So, and yeah, unfortunately, I mean, there's they can really only play four big men unless someone gets in foul trouble. So barring foul trouble from, you know, several players, I don't see the British Bulldog getting in.
I think Freeland might be a good idea, though.
Yeah. No, I don't understand. Like, I mean, not to continue to rag on Lopez, but, I mean, Freeland might be their best defender.
He's definitely their best on-ball big man defender.
Yeah, I think he's up there with their best defender on big men, and I think his verticality is really good. I mean, obviously his D rating is really, really good when he's on the court, but he just, you know, I just don't see him getting in unless foul trouble happens. But it wouldn't be a bad idea. I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing to throw out. I think that even, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we all know why Myers would be out to stretch the floor.
But Joel has a nice little 15-footer.
Yeah.
That he's hit more this year than he has before. Like, he was like Brick City, and then.
Joel Freeland was so bad at the beginning of his career.
I know it was incredible how bad he was in year one.
Like, when they signed him, I was like, oh, that's cool. European player, you know, professional.
Pretty good Olympic performance.
Yeah, he had a good Olympic performance that year. But then he was incredibly bad. And then he's been good since then. But
yeah, okay. So I guess so his 10 to 16-foot jump shot is at 40%, which is around the average for that shot, I think.
Yeah, that's a bad shot, but
yeah, but his shooting is around the league average for that shot. But, like, I mean, he would have to hit that shot if he's gonna play. Yeah, and that's basically what he can do. But yeah, I mean, offensively. So I
think if the Blazers completely lose their mind and just start trying random crap, that playing Freeland too long would be more effective than other random crap.
Yeah, and LaMarcus loves playing with Freeland. I mean, or at least he has said he loves playing with Freeland in the past. And Freeland's had some good games. I remember that it was over Christmas. They had that beatdown of the Pelicans, and Freeland was the one guarding Anthony Davis. But, yeah, I mean, obviously regular season. But, yeah, you know, I agree with you. If they start throwing stuff out, I wouldn't be against them throwing out Freeland. But, you know, I'm still on that start Myers train.
Look, I don't know. Start, but
I know,
look, I can't commit to anything.
I know I'm alone. I know I'm the only one on my
own. You know, that's a nice train ride.
Yeah.
You're on a train alone.
I'm on, yeah, Myers train, Myers Island. I'm the only one on it, I think.
Right. Myers spaceship.
Yeah, and that's okay. It's a leisurely ride. I can kick back with my music and maybe a nice podcast and just relax.
You could pull out the acoustic guitar without people chewing you out.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's all the questions we have for today.
Oh, we're not going to answer the sarcastic one? I get it.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to answer the sarcastic one?
It is possible to defend a pick and roll.
It is possible.
Person. Come on!
It is possible to defend a pick and roll from Koji Matsumoto. It is possible. The Blazers just...
They have not been good at it.
Ever since Mr. Matthews went down, they've just been... Another thing about Robin Lopez, real quick... is not having Wesley Matthews is a major loss for Robin Lopez, because before games, like, Wes would, like, give Lopez, like, a huge chest bump before the game, and, like, now when he comes out during pregame warmups, he doesn't know what to do with himself. And
that's why he's been beating up mascots.
Yes.
He's confused.
Yes, yes, exactly. The mascots are just – they are the ones receiving – all the feelings from Robin.
Did you see have you seen anybody on the internet with the take Robin Lopez is spending too much time harassing mascots and needs to get in the gym?
No, I don't think I've seen that take yet.
I've seen a variation on that take.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. Well, yeah. Anytime anyone says they should just get in the gym, I'm just like, come on, guys.
A person showed me an Instagram picture of Amir Johnson lying down on the couch with his child, and somebody said you should have been in the gym.
Oh my gosh. It's just no. Like... hot take, Instagram comments are the worst. Is the Instagram, like, there are comment sections and then there's the comment sections on Instagram.
And you know how, do you know that like little cultures pop up around certain celebrities' Instagrams?
Yes.
It's so weird.
It's very weird. And the comment section on celebrity Instagrams, professional sports team Instagrams is some of the worst stuff I've ever seen. It's pretty bad. People start challenging each other to fights on there. It gets real.
And they happen. You know what I think the next, phase of sports entertainment probably is?
What?
Finding people threatening to fight each other on the internet and like, and getting those people together, providing them with money and filming the fight.
So basically what almost happened in Temecula.
Yes. And well,
soon enough, ESPN will be shelling out multi-million dollar deals to broadcast that.
Yeah, the Rumble in Temecula.
Yeah, that was a weird time.
The Bash in Beaverton.
The Bash in Beaverton.
What's a city whose name? What's a suburb that starts with F? The Fracas in Fullerton.
The Throwdown in Tualatin.
I would have preferred if we got a T in there. Can we just call it the Throwdown?
The Throwdown in Tualatin. Okay. Gosh.
It's two dudes from Philadelphia who fight each other in Tualatin. At a Throwdown in Tualatin.
Yeah. Let's work on that. Let's start marketing that. I want to make some money.
I'm gonna make so much money off this.
Let's do that. We're gonna make a lot of money.
When I get random internet commenters who are mad at each other to fight each other,
and then broadcast it.
And broadcast it. We'll start out with YouTube. It'll be like MMA. It'll be like, you know, we distribute it through VHSs at first.
Right.
On Vimeo, maybe.
Maybe we get with the Times and Periscope.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Periscope. That's the way to do it. When Periscope finally gets their sponsored content structure working, oh, boy.
I know. There's going to be so many Twitter fights.
Yeah. Just people who are mad at each other on Twitter. We make these fights happen, get everybody paid. If we weren't here doing this, they would be fighting and nobody would be getting any money off of it. What I'm doing is a moral crusade.
That's right. Well, Corbin, thanks for coming on. I had a great time.
A pleasure.
Looking forward to game two.
I am too. I'll be there. No, not at game two. I'll be at three.
I'll see you at game three. Yeah. I'll bring your hat.
Oh, yeah. Bring my hat. Don't say what's on the hat.
I won't.
I don't want anybody to know what other sports team I might like.